Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the Siyum last week. It was supposed to be a Siyum, the Chevra Shas. It turned out to be a testimonial. So I appreciate everyone's participation, and I appreciate the beautiful gift, the beautiful Becher with the beautiful inscription. I also want to thank all of those who participated in the dedication of this volume, those who already participated, those who are going to participate. This volume of the Medrash Rabbah, the new edition that they're putting out, this volume was published in my honor, anonymously, by Talmidim Amaritzim. So I thank all of those, I'm not sure exactly who, I thank all of those from the Queen Shir who participated in that. Okay. Yes, thank you. Oh, Mazel Tov. Tonight we're going to start Maseches Gittin. Last week we started a little bit with the first Mishnah, but as I mentioned, the Mesichta is very much out of order. The Mishnayos are not written in the way, in a logical order, the way we would have organized the Mesichta. We would have organized it the way the Rambam and the way the Shulchan Aruch organized it. So we would have started from the last Mishnah. Maybe we'll start. We'll go a little bit out of order. The very last Mishnah. And the last daf. Yeah, make a siyum already before we even begin.
Kol ha'chul is kosher, so we make a siyum.
It's easier. And daf tzadik omer aleph, the very last daf, presents what's the first siman in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer and Hilchos Gittin. What are the grounds for divorce? When does a husband have a right to divorce his wife? What's the shaila? It's a shaila bin adam l'chaveiro. When a person gets engaged, so he says he loves the girl and she says she loves him and they want to stay married and want to honor and cherish each other and stick it out and whatever, thick and thin. So the shaila is, when does the husband have a right to divorce his wife? That he's not mechuyev anymore to keep his promise. He didn't swear if he took a shvua, so shvua, shvua. So he has to keep a shvua. Let's say mata the shvua. We're not talking took a shvua. He just promised they're gonna live together. So when is he permitted to divorce his wife? So that's a machlekes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah has the three shitas, the famous machlekes. Beis Shammai yomrim, Beis Shammai say lo yigarish adam es ishtoi. It's not proper to divorce your wife. It's a nisa shebin adam lachaveroi. It's not proper. Elim kei motzabot var erva. Unless she's a prutz, unless she's mizane, she's asura olav, she becomes a soito, or if she's not mizane asura olav, but she's a prutz, so she's in violation of the obligations of the marriage. The Mishnah in Ksubas on that fine base, Amar Aleph, quotes the famous list of situations. The din is, whenever a man divorces his wife, so he has to pay Ksubas. Unless you can establish that it's the fault of the wife for destroying the marriage. The boss says it's the fault of the wife. So let's say the wife decides she doesn't want to have any children, period. Not she doesn't want to have any more children. She doesn't want to have any children at all. Fact. So the whole purpose of marriage is in order to have children. She decides she doesn't want to have. Or let's say the wife decides she's not going to go to mikveh. So then, or she doesn't want to have tashmish with her husband. So that's she's not living up to her half of the deal. Or the Mishnah has
let's say.
The Mishnah has that's a chiddush. That let's say they're living, they got married in Queens and they're living in Queens for the last 40 years. And then all of a sudden the wife decides that she wants to go to Eretzon. The husband says, what's up, it's Meshuga? I'm Gefalna Meshugas. Why do you want to go to Eretzon? So she says she's going. She goes to Eretzon. She says, either you come with me or you give me a get. So Lachar, she's the Meshuga. She's responsible for breaking up the marriage. So the Mishnah says, no, whoever wants to go to Eretz Yisrael has the gerecht tainah, and whoever wants to stay behind is the one who's obstinate and is considered as if they're breaking up the marriage. So it says in the Mishnah that, let's say, the husband, let's say they're married for 30, 40 years, the husband, Angifana Mishagas, he decides he's moving to Eretz Yisrael and tells the wife, either you come along with me or I give you a get. So she says, no, she got married here, she lives here, she wants to stay here. So he says, then I'm going to give you a get. So the question is, so he's the Meshugana. So you should say that he has to pay the wife Ksuba. So the Mishnah says, no. Since he has the Gerech the Taina, that's at the end of Ksubas. The last Mishnah Ksubas. That's why at the very end of Maseches Ksubas, the Gemara has, the last Sugin Ksubas is about the discussion of the Hashivas of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the lesson.
Well, if he's living, if he can make a living.
Yeah. No, not quite as well. Subjects
up to a different standard of living, which is not accustomed to their condition.
Okay, there are details. It's not. It's not so. It's not just such an open and shut case. Yes.
He has to go there to stay there. He's going to go there to be very divorced without it. So he's using it as an excuse to go divorce.
Versteht ihr? Yeah. So the Mishnah has there, the Mishnah Ksuvas Daf Ein Beis says that let's say the wife is Mezana, so the husband has to divorce her. She's a Soita Asura L'Baili, he's not allowed to remain married. So obviously in such a case he doesn't have to pay any Ksuvah. But even if she doesn't, even if she's not a Mezana, not Nishkan Soita, what if she walks around half undressed? Means if they live in a society where all the normal people dress properly, and she walks around with low-cut dresses, with short sleeves, and with short dresses, and everything. So then the Mishnah says, if the woman is a prutza, not even actual znus, then that's considered destroying the marriage, because one of the important component parts of the marriage is the tznius in dress, and the tznius in speech, and the tznius in actions as well. Let's say she's always. She's always yelling or screaming or something like that, or she's always very loud, b'shas tashmish, or she speaks with nivol peh, or she speaks in public in a very pre-tzedikah fashion. So the mission, not staman averale. Let's say the wife decides she's not going to be shamera Shabbos anymore, and it aggravates the husband, and he doesn't want to remain married with his wife, he wants to divorce her, then he has to pay ksuba. That's his decision. She's not considered destroying the marriage. Shmira Shabbos has nothing to do with the marriage. That's azayte gezach. But if she doesn't want to go to mikveh, that affects the marriage. So the Mishnah has, if she curses the shviger, if she mekalelos yolda b'fonot, if she disrespectful for the in-laws, that's considered destroying the marriage. That's not considered stam azayte gaveirale. Or if she's a prutzo, if he or she are prutzo, it's not that the Mishnah is pinning all the blame on the wife. That the husband has to pay ksuba. That's the chavgiret. Whenever the husband divorces his wife, he has to pay ksuba. That's given. The Mishnah in Ksuvos is listing off the Yotzei min HaKlal. When do we pin the blame on the wife? We say that she is responsible for the breakup of the marriage, and therefore she loses her Ksuvah. So Mishnah recognizes a whole bunch of cases that she dresses pre-tzedik, or she speaks pre-tzedik, or her actions are pre-tzedik, or so on, as she curses, she's extremely disrespectful to the in-laws. That's considered as affecting the marriage. If she doesn't want to have any children. That we'll get to. We'll discuss that. In Shulchan Aruch they discuss it. There's a chem that Rabbeinu Gershom not to give a get bar koch. What about the makom mitzvah? So the question is, there are two charamim of Rabbeinu Gershom. One is not to give a get bar koch, and one is shelo lisa isha al ishtoi, not to marry another wife. So let's say they get divorced in secular court. So according to the government, he's allowed to remarry. So maybe it would be preferable to be mata that chem that Rabbeinu Gershom about not marrying a second wife, as opposed to being matter this chem that Rabbeinu Gershom about giving the get bal korcho, because the giving of the get bal korcho is a more serious chem that Rabbeinu Gershom. Not all the charam, Rabbeinu Gershom made around 25 charamim. Not reading other people's mails and so on. In the end of Yeridaya, they give you the whole simon about chere menidui and shamta, right before Hilchas Avelis, right before the very end. So in the simon in Yeridaya about chere menidui and shamta, so on the Be'er HaGoyle on the side, he quotes a list of around the 20-25 charamim of the Rabbeinu Gershom. A whole list. So they're not all on the same level of chomer ha'isa. The cherim shaloi lisa alishtai, shaloi lisa isha alishtai, not to have two wives, is not as strong as the cherim of being begarish balkach. So that's why most of the poskim say that if you have such a situation where it's a mitzvah, the garish ish, and she refuses to accept the get, so it's preferable to be mata the cherim of being nice isha alishtai rather than be mata this cherim of being begarish balkach. And if you have no brayer, so then the post can sometimes say that we would sometimes even be matter this chayr. If we feel that it's necessary, can be matter this chayr most.
Why do you need meir rabbonim by to be matter that chayr? Not a charom, we don't need meir rabbonim, we need just a person, right?
Yeah.
Why here?
I think they usually assume that's how the Rabbeinu Gershom instituted it milach atchila. Melech Atchila, when he made the Yisa, not shaloi lisa isha lishna, not to take a second wife, so he said, unless 100 Rabbanim from 3 different Medinas will give him permission, then he built in a clause into the Isser that became Hagavnis Mutas. So it's not that you're really being Mata the Cherim. That was one of the conditions of the Isser. If you have the permission from 100 Rabbanim from 3 different Medinas have different outlooks on life, as though you can have all Svardim, they'll see, why shouldn't he marry another wife? Or all the Ashkenazim say, why should you allow him to marry another wife? So if you have three different medinas, that each one has a different perspective, and they still, the 100 rabbanim are still maskim, so then he said that it would be mut. So this Mishnah discusses what is considered a violation. Bisham and Bisil are discussing what's a situation where we would not consider it a violation of the marriage vows that he should divorce his wife. So Bishamai say, if she's a prutza, not only if she's mezana, that she's a seita asur labayla, even if she's a prutza also, those cases that are listed there in the Mishnah Ksuvah Daf Ayin Beis, then it's permissible and recommended that the husband should divorce his wife. Anything less than that, nit. And what if she doesn't wash the clothes? And what if she doesn't cook well? What if she burns all the food? And what if the children are sloppy and dirty? So the Bishamai hold that that's not grounds for divorce. That's not proper. That's not her responsibility more than it's his responsibility. Minatera, midirabbanan, it is. Midirabbanan, there's a din. One of the shibudim that the wife has to the husband is maisi yadeh, malocha. She's supposed to wash the clothing, and unless they're so wealthy that they can afford to have a maid. So let them have a maid wash the clothes. And if he's wealthier, they should have a maid raise the children. They should have a maid nurse the babies, whatever. If they have enough maids, so she just sits there and twiddles her thumbs. So you can have a hechtin where the wife doesn't have to do any malochas. But under normal circumstances, they don't have so many maids when they first get married, so then it's a takana midrabanan that all of the malachas around the house have to be done by the wife. She has to make the beds, and she has to wash the clothing, she has to cook the food and wash the dishes, and so on. So Bishamai say, that's a zaitige chiyuv that the chachamim will matl on the wife. If she doesn't live up to that obligation, it's not considered that she's violating one of the conditions of the marriage. If she doesn't want to have any children, then the Mishnah says that's a violation of the conditions of the marriage. If she's a prutza, means any one of the things that's mentioned in the Mishnah in Ksuvah Daf Ayin Beis that's considered crucial to the marriage. She's mevaza the in-laws in the presence of the husband, and so on. Or the Mishnah has an example. I said a case that the wife decides she doesn't want to be Shemera Shabbos anymore. She doesn't want to bench anymore. She doesn't want to wash in Tilas Adam. She doesn't want to say Brachas anymore. She doesn't want to daven anymore, whatever. So if the husband decides he wants a divorce, he has to pay ksuba. That's not considered violation of the marriage. It has nothing to do with the marriage. Everyone is mechuyav to be shomer Shabbos, whether you're single or you're married. Cursing out the in-laws, that has to do with the marriage. Well, it's really part of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. We learn it up in the pasuk kabed esov yichud esimecha. Es is marbe. So we say es is marbe. Es l'rabbis the shver and es l'rabbis the shviger. We say that it's included in the din. It's not exactly the same level of kibud av v'aim. It's a little lower. It's a little lower level. But still, even though it's part of the general din of kibud av v'aim, but still it's considered intrinsic to the marriage, because if you don't have kibud av, so the whole family will fall apart. The whole yisoid of the marriage is that we hold our hashivas to the family. So if one is in violation of kibud av in a very conspicuous fashion, that's considered as if they're destroying the family.
Are you still believe in her with nidah and other things?
Strictly speaking, you do. The Mishnah says, the din is that a person is bagloib in that area of halacha that they keep. Let's say if the person keeps taras hamishpacha, they don't keep kashrus. So they're bagloib in taras hamishpacha. If they keep kashrus, they don't keep taras hamishpacha. So they're bagloib in that area where they observe. Unless the whole minig hamdin is that everybody holds that this is mochomer, they're not, and the person is in violation of the mochomedig thing, so then it's a kalvachomer that they're not believed in the less chomedig thing. But a lot of times you have mentalities in different communities that by many svardim you have the taras hamashpacha they will observe and kashrus not. And by Ashkenazim you have fakert. Kashrus they will observe and taras hamashpacha they will not observe. So it all depends on the mentality in the different communities. But strictly speaking, the Mishnah says, whatever area of halacha the person keeps, so then they're bagloid in that area. She's not mechuyev. She's not mechuyev. She doesn't have the mitzvah kibud av v'aim. But that's what the whole marriage is for, that she should enable the husband to fulfill his mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So she doesn't want to have children. The Gemara has, on the last daf in Tainus, ein isha ela lebanim. The whole purpose of getting married is to have children. So if she doesn't want to have any children, then he has a right to divorce her without paying any ksuba.
She doesn't
want to
light candles.
But let him light the candles. No, that's not.
Show him bias.
No, that's not. No, that's not part of the house. That's not part of the marriage obligations. That's not the. So a garnish if he decides. She doesn't want ben shlich, period. She doesn't want to keep Shabbos. If he wants to divorce her because it annoys him, he has to pay ksuba. The Mishnah has a chiddush What if she's noderes ve'ena mekayemes? What if the wife keeps on taking the dorim and she doesn't live up to the dorim? Every time she gets angry, she takes a neder, she's never going to walk into this store again. She's never going to go daven in that shul again. She's never going to go women's group again. Whatever, every time. And then she goes and she violates the nedarim. So the Mishnah says if she's noderes ve'ena mekayemes, then teitzei b'loik suba. So the Gemara asks, teitzei b'loik suba? This is hazayta gavere. What has it got to do with the marriage? Just like Machal Shabbosai. How does it affect the marriage? The Gemara says, no, because b'avo nedarim, b'avo nemesim. If parents take the nedarim and they violate them, so this may sometimes be taken out on the children, the children will die. So that's the same as if she doesn't want to have any children. That affects the marriage.
Can she, if he makes the nedarim and doesn't keep him, can she sue for the divorce?
I mean he pledges money to tzedakas and he doesn't live up. That's what it means. A man takes nedarim to tzedakas. I don't know if it means he takes a neder not to smoke. He takes a neder not to eat potato chips. He takes pledges and he doesn't live up to the. He doesn't pay the money. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk that sometimes the wife will die. So that is grounds for divorce on her part. She can insist she wants to get.
Maybe that's why he wants to get rid of her.
Okay. Obviously, she wants to get. He wants to get rid of her. He takes pledges and he doesn't pay. Yeah. He wants to get rid of her.
Does that also mean like the subjective, like assuming she gets a skin disease or something like that?
No, that's the cure.
I mean, she's not pretty anymore.
Oh yeah, it's just like it doesn't mean like she's an Arab to him. It's, he doesn't. No, she no longer pleases him in any way.
No. So Beishami say it's not proper to divorce them. Beishami said the only time it's proper to divorce the wife is in those cases that are listed in the Mishnah and Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis, that she's in violation of one of the obligations of the marriage, namely in the area of Tznius v'Kayetze B'zeh. Of all of those cases, whenever it's considered that she's responsible for breaking up the marriage, then Meshama say he has a right to divorce.
Because Ish Bechet
Tom Yimasu, why is it that a wife might die if her husband is on a good kasha. I don't know, but the Gemara quotes the psukim from Tanakh that sometimes the children die because of the parents, and sometimes the wife is punished, perhaps because the wife should have encouraged him to pay the debts. If he pledges to give money to tzedakah and he doesn't give, how come he doesn't give? Because the wife wants to have more dresses, or the wife wants to have more vacations or something. She should see to it that he does pay. I don't know. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. If she doesn't know, it's a good question. If she doesn't know about it, it's a good question. I don't know. So the Mishnah quotes, how do Beishamai know that Shanem? Ki matzaba erbaz dovah. The Chumash only gives that one reason, the grounds for divorce is erbaz dovah means she's doing something that violates the marriage. But let's say she's a miserable cook, and the house is smelly and sloppy and the children are dirty and they're never diapered and she doesn't know how to take care of anything. So Beishamai say that's all takonis midrabbanon. That's all takonis midrabbanon, that's the responsibility of the wife. And when they made the takon rabbanon, that's like a chiyuv. That's not considered intrinsic to the marriage. And Beisilah disagree. Beisilah omer, afida higdicha tafshiloi, even if she burns the food, means she's not a good cook. Either, even though it's a takana de rabbanon, they hold that it's intrinsic to the marriage, or maybe they hold that it's part of the din de raisa. That's the Gemara in Yevamos at the end of Perek Havo Yevimtoi, when the Gemara talks about the importance of getting married, periverivya, the different shittas, who's mechuyvim periverivya, how many children you have to have, and the significance of marriage. So the Gemara quotes there one of the tanaim, I think Tanit Be'eliyo or something, the Gemara quotes a braisa that on the commenting on the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis that it says, Eselo Eze Kinegdoi. So the Gemara says, Vos heist Eze Kinegdoi? The husband works on the farm and he harvests the grain and he brings it home. So what is he going to eat? The sack of grain. So the wife has to grind it and make flour out of it, then she has to make bread. And thus heist Eze Kinegdoi. She makes the food and she washes the clothing and she makes the beds and she raises the children. That she does the melacha. So that's Bisil of Shita. That too is considered a violation of one of the obligations of the marriage, and therefore that's grounds for divorce. Therefore, that's grounds. Beishamai held no. There's a zaitik takonim de rabbanon. That's not intrinsic to the marriage.
It's not.
Till Shabbos is not grounds for that. If it annoys the husband, it means if it annoys that he wants to, it's affecting his Yerushalmi. Okay. So then it's not really grounds for divorce. He has to pay the ksuba.
Yeah. Why is it
affects the marriage.
It's not a question more or less. Tznius is considered one of the conditions of the marriage. That in order that the family, the Torah places significance on the family, there's a din of kibudav, and there are din of chinuch, and there are the responsibilities from the husband to the wife. The Torah places a lot of stress on the family unit. So tznius is considered crucial for the tznius in speech and tznius in dress. And tznius in actions is considered crucial to the marriage. That if either the husband or the wife, the Mishnah is only talking about the violation of the wife, again, to explain why the husband doesn't have to pay the ksuba. But who adinami, if the husband is violation of inyan tznius, means that he's responsible for breaking up the marriage. Ben kovako, he has to pay the ksuba. There's no big chiddush that he has to pay. He always pays the ksuba. The Mishnah is only stressing, it's not that the tanaim are placing the whole burden of the tznius on the wife. Mishnah is explaining what are the yetzim in aklal cases that the husband doesn't have to pay the ksuba.
So, the word tafshilo means he only serves with him burning food. In other words, he gets always the burning
food. That's right. That's a but that's not the pashup shat. The pashup shat is that it's, no. The pashup shat is that she's not that Basilo hold that this is intrinsic
in the marriage
to the obligations of the marriage that she
but
should
she
have a clean house and a clean. Look, if it doesn't bother him, if the husband isn't bothered that the whole house is a wreck and the children are filthy and they're always going with dirty diapers and the beds are never made and the ceilings are filthy, if it doesn't bother him, it's nishkin grounds for divorce. If he's bothered by it, so then he has a taina that she's not living up to her obligations of the marriage, and the seal will hold that that's intrinsic to the marriage. So this machlekes we understand. And the Gemara explains what is the machlekes based on. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Kimotzebo Ervas Dover. The Beis Shammai say it's one hyphenated term. Ervas Dover. There's a violation of Pritzis, of Dvar Erva. And Bisilu say, Ervas Dover is not to be read as a hyphenated expression, but rather Dover. Either Ervas or Dover. Ervas means in the area of Tznius, and Dover means in the area of Malachi, of raising the children and keeping the cows clean and the clothing clean and so on and so forth. That's the Machlek of Beis Shammai and Bisilu. And Rabbi Akiva is the Chiddush. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afilu Motza Acheres No Heimeno Shenema V'Hoyim Lo Yisim Tzachim. And Rabbi Akiva had three different wives. Bezer Hazer. He didn't. I don't think he divorced them. I think the first wife died. He married a second wife. Second wife died. He married a third wife. He had three different wives. One was Ashiksa who converted. What do you want to say?
Who was the one who let him go to the Kabbalah?
I think that was the first wife.
That was the first wife.
And then after she died, then he had episodes. The Gemara tells a story. The Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf the story. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva met this beautiful, beautiful shiksin. So the Gemara says that he spit and he laughed and he cried. The Gemara says, so she asked him, what are you spitting? What are you laughing? What are you crying? So he said he spits because she comes from a Gaisha background. And then he didn't want to explain the rest, what he was laughing for. And then the Gemara says later on, he was laughing because he knew he saw Baruch HaKadosh, he's going to marry her. And then he cried, he knew that she was going to die before him. I think that was wife number two, that Shiksa. And then there's another medrash that after she died, he married third wife. He didn't divorce his wife. So he's not speaking from experience. Not Rabbi Kiva says, even if you find a young chick, a prettier girl than your own wife, you can get rid of your wife. He didn't divorce his wife, his first wife died. Chassam Sofer also had three wives. Bezer Hazer, the first wife died. He married Rabbi Kivega's daughter. I think was the second wife, and she died. First wife, he had no children. I think Rabbi Kivega's daughter, he had a lot of children. And then when she died, he had a third wife. Bezer Hazer, he never divorced his wife. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes you have to divorce. That's what the Masechta is all about. So Rabbi Kiva has this wild chiddush. Afila matza acheres no heimeno shenema v'hoyim loisim tzachem yeno. What kind of a talking is that? So some svarim they write matzah cheres no amen. He finds a wife who's more frum, no amen on Yerushamayim. Shverevot. What do you mean? You got married to the girl. She was frum enough for you at the time that you got married. So what kind of a reason for divorce is that? That's what it means. He can divorce without any cause. It's permissible to divorce. How can it be? Yeah, what does it mean? So L'chari, you have to say that pshata is that it annoys him very much. Sometimes a person knows that his wife is not so good looking, but it doesn't annoy him so much. Okay, so the other one has a prettier wife, he's had a better marriage, so on. But if it annoys him very much, L'chari, that's when he just can't stand her, and it eats him up so much, he just can't stand his wife. He dislikes her so much. So then Rabbi Akiva claims, based on the pasuk, if he's so eaten up by this, then this is considered. Yeah, yeah. You always find acheres. You always find acheres. I go to the beauty contest. You find acheres. Means, but it bothers him very much. Then Rabbi Akiva has the chiddush that that this is grounds for divorce. Bukhari does have to pick soon. I would assume he does. This is all his decision. This is all his decision. No, he decided. It's not the same.
According to Basila, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba.
According to Basila, I don't think he has to pay ksuba. Basila is saying that this too is considered. Basila and Shammai are both saying the only thing that's grounds for divorce is if the wife is not living up to her marital obligations. So Bishamai said the only marital obligations on the level of the Raisa are the inyonim of tzniyus v'kayet v'zev, mentioned in the Mishnah in Ksuvah's Dafayim Beis. And still add on that the Malacha, the Shibud, the Malacha are also considered intrinsic to matter. That's the Yisayit of Ezek and Egdai, the way the Raisa says in the end of Perek HaBol Yivinta. And Rabbi Akiva comes in with a ganzen, a new story. It's not proper to give a divorce. The Gemara says over here, what happens if he will? The Gemara asks the Shaila. Amar Apap LeRav, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where it says on the side, Dvarim Chav Beis. So the Gemara quotes, Rav Papa asks the question of Rav, what if he has no grounds for divorce and he gives a get anyway? What's the din? Lo Matzav, Lo Yarvav, Lo Dovar, he has no grounds for divorce and he gives a get anyway. What's the din? Amalei, so he said the get is good anyway. We're only talking in the Mishnah, the three opinions of the Tanaim. When is it proper, when is it improper to give a get? But if you give a get, even in a situation where it's improper, the get is still valid. Even if you give the get bal korcho, how do you know? That's what all the Achronim ask. How did the Gemara know that the get is chal even bal korcho? The Gemara always says like that. How did the Gemara know that it's so? Who states in Tanakh that the get is good? So the Achronim all say, this Gemara, this Pasuk, the Pasuk says that if a man, there's a parsha in the Torah, Avonis and Mefata, if a man is ma'anis, a single girl, then the Torah says he has to pay chamishim kesef to the father, and it says v'loy siyah liyisha, he has to marry her. He has to marry her if she wants him to marry her. If she can't stand him, she hates him, this mishugana, put him in prison. So you don't force the girl to marry the man. It means if she feels so terrible, that who's going to want to marry her? She was attacked, she was raped by this man. So if she says she wants him to marry her and to support her for the rest of her life, so then the din says in the Torah that he has to marry her. Then it says he's never allowed to divorce her. What do you mean he's never allowed to divorce her? What if they're married for 10 years and now she can't stand him? He's attacking other women. He goes around starting up with all the women in the street. So if the wife can't stand him anymore, so there's no isa liyuchel l'shalcha kol yomav, that he's not allowed to divorce. It means he's not allowed to divorce the bal korcho. So what do you need a pasuk to say he's not allowed to divorce a bal korcho if you say he can never divorce bal korcho? So you see from this pasuk that in kol ha'tara kulo, whenever a man divorces his wife, even she's screaming, I don't accept the get, he sticks it in a pocket, he puts it in a hand and he walks away. So you see the get, the schal doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. Absolutely, you're not allowed to do it. It's clearly an avera. But you learn from the pasuk that the get is schal. And here the Torah has a special love. By the yoinis, there's a special love. Lo yuchel l'shalcha kol yomav.
What's the avera?
The Avera is Ben Adam L'Havera. It's an Avera Ben Adam L'Havera. I'm babbling the other person. Certainly an Avera. Certainly an Avera. It's in fact a kasha that Tosis asks such a similar kasha at the beginning of Tmura. There's a machloikas Abai V'Rov in the very beginning of Tmura, around Hey and Davav. What's the halacha in the following case? The Gemara has an abstract shaila. Milsa Dam Rachman Eloi Savit. There's a matter, Milsa, but it's a statement of the Torah that you're not allowed to do this. Loi Savit. And the fellow goes ahead and he does it. So can that possibly bring about a halois? Or no? How can it be? If you have no right to do that maisa, how can it bring about an effect? It's like you're not a balabos to do it, so even if you did it, it cannot bring about a halois. So that's a machlekes habayi v'rova. Nilsa dam rachman aloi savid, you say, yovid mahani. If you went ahead and you did it, it does bring about a halois, or yovid loi mahani. So the Gemara says you have stiris and psukim that pull you in opposite directions. On the one hand, there's a din, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. It's an avera to marry her, let alone to live with her later on, but just to give her the ring to say Harat Mekudesh, she shine off Gitan on avera. And what if he gives her the ring and says Harat Mekudesh? So the din is that the kedushin is chal. Rabbi Kiva holds is not chal. But we pass in chay v'lav and the kedushin is chal. So on the one hand, and he has to give a get. He's not allowed to remain married with. He has to give her a get. So on the one hand, that pasuk indicates that milsa damach mona loy savid. It is mahani, even though you weren't allowed to do it. It is chal. What if I go to an eshes ish? What if I go to my sister, to my mother, and I give a ring and I say Hariat Mekudeshesli? So the Gemara said that's also an Aveira. I mean, the Kaddish Chai B'Krisis is also an Aveira, even if he's not going to live with them later. If he lives with them, it's Takanisa Kuritz. If he's Mekaddish, there's no Aveira of Kuritz, but it's still an Aveira, the Gemara says. And there I say the Kedushin is not Chal at all. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, from the Chai B'Krisis din, that I say even B'Diyevi, the Kedushin is not Chal, that seems to indicate Nilsa Damachman Alay Savri Yavid Loimahani. Whenever you did something that you weren't allowed to do, so it cannot bring about a chalos. On the other hand, from the Chai B'Lavin case, if the Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, or the Kohen marries a Grusha, the din is that the Kedushin is Taifsin, he is married and he has to give a get, so that seems to indicate Nilsa Damachman Alay Savid Yavid Mahani that it is Chal. So the Gemara says that's exactly the machlekes of Abaye v'Rava, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule. What would you say in a different case? So the Gemara corrects these cases, but then maybe it's Lamaskana comes out that there probably is no nafkamino, or the very few nafkaminos between Abaye v'Rava. But these are not the nafkaminos. So Tosfos there is bothered with a kasha. Look, this kasha, a man divorces his wife with absolutely no grounds for divorce whatsoever, and it's clearly in violation of an Issa bin Adam HaHaveri. He wasn't allowed to do it. So would anybody in his right mind say that the get is not chal? Would anybody say the get is not chal? Let's say over here by this case, there's a question in Rishon, let's say the oinus, the man who is ma'anis, the girl, and it says, he has to marry her if she wants. No, you not allowed to divorce her. What if he decides he doesn't want to live with her? He gives her the get, and this is it, and she's screaming, I don't accept the get. So would you say there, Bachmamish and Aveira, would you say, Iyovid loy mahani? That the get is not chal?
Why say that? Because the get would have absolutely no halachic effect whatsoever. The Torah says you can't give her again. You're giving
her that's a good question.
That's the machlokes Abaye v'Rava. That's the machlokes. One opinion is you have to say Iyovid Mahani. You have to say it's chal. Because one opinion is you have to say Mahani, like you said, because if it's going to be Lo Mahani, so what's the Aveira? So he attempted to do an Aveira, didn't do anything. So that's what one Amara in the Gemara says, you must say Iyovid Mahani. Whatever the Torah forbids you from doing, you have to say that it does bring about a chalos, because if it doesn't bring about a chalos, so you didn't do any Aveira, so what's wrong? So you have to say that it does bring about a chalos, and that's why it's an Aveira. And the other opinion says, no, he wasn't allowed to do it, he had no right to do it, his nishken bailim, so it's considered like a stranger is making kiddushin, a stranger is giving a get, and therefore it's not chal. So that's exactly the machlokes, is what they say, Yovid Mahani, Yovid Loi Mahani. So Tosfos there asked the question, let's say a man gives a get, shalokid din, he wasn't allowed to give the get. No grounds for divorce whatsoever. Would anybody say that he ovid loy mahani, the get is not chal? So Tosfos answers no, that we have a Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't say, Tosfos explains, the Abba Gzeiras HaKosev, that the Chumash writes there are two ways to break up a marriage. One is when the husband dies, and one is when he gives a get. So Tosfos says, just like when the husband dies, no ifs, ands, and buts. That's it. Yishtarb and yishtarb. There's no more marriage. So too, it's a hekish. That the two are written in the same pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, the pasuk says either the husband dies or the husband gives her a get. So when the husband gives a get, the get breaks off the marriage, even if one should have tied it
legally or illegally.
Yeah,
permissible or unpermissible, but the pasuk
implies that it's the same as Mises Habal, the Freitag that accomplishes, right? So that's what the Gemara says over here. Even if he'll give a get. Loi matzaba, loi dova, loi erva. Nothing, no grounds for divorce at all. Nonetheless, the get is chal. That's what we learn out in the pasuk. The get is chal. And this pasuk tells me the get is chal bal karcha also. This is the makkah.
How's this Mishnah put in? The machlok of the son of Shilal has points for giving it a get, and then you don't have to pay a super because something did.
The Rakiv is in Gansendit.
It has nothing to do with the machlok of the son of Shilal.
The Rakiv just says.
Or the Bisham and Bishilel agree with him also.
Rabbi Akiva agrees with Bisham and Bishilel that these are grounds, either Bisham or Bishilel, these are grounds for divorce, and you don't have to take Siddur. But in his case, it means that you're not in violet, it's not an Aver ben Adam HaHavero, but still you have to take Siddur because it was your decision. You decided that you can't stay in a filthy house and dirty children and burnt food and a sloppy bedroom and everything. So that's your decision. Du es gehata breira, not to think like that. So just because you're in that frame of mind, you like everything should be nice, Adira no, and Anisha no, and Kalim no, and you like clean furniture and delicious food, so then you have to take Suba for that.
Shama and Hillel will disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and Shama and Bishillel will disagree with Rabbi
Akiva. Yeah, they hold that it's a wife. Not a lot of divorce. Not a lot of divorce if Matzah Acheres no, he married. Not a lot. Sure.
Why do you tie it into this much like...
Al Pi Pashtus, no. The Silul are saying something along the lines of Beis Shammai. Then whatever she's in. I don't think so.
Why then you'll never have to take Sobel.
No, I don't think so.
Why do you tie in the
No, that's his decision. I mean, he decides that he just can't stand it.
He's not so good looking.
Let's say she burns his pots, right? She burns the food, the kids aren't clean. So it's also his decision. So why, according to him, you have to pay the
But that's Sobel.
But that's objective. That's not really a subjective decision. That's objective. Anyone would come into, a normal person would come in and say, the house is a wreck, the children are filthy, and the food is terrible. So if it's an objective, based on objective standards, she's not a good balabasta, so they still hold, that's a violation of the marriage obligation. Mishamay say, no, there's a zaitig obligation. So shibud midrabbono, that's not intrinsic to the marriage.
What makes you decide that this Mishnah has to do with the paying of the ksuba at all?
I don't think it has to do.
It doesn't.
I don't think so. I don't know.
It's just a machlokes of whether you're allowed to or not allowed.
Right. I'm just giving that as a mashal. That Beis Shammai only say there's no iser in divorcing when it's considered that it's she's responsible for breaking up the marriage. But if she doesn't, she nishkin balabasta, then they hold that that's zaitig hischaibis. That's not considered intrinsic to the marriage. As a mashal to explain, how would one determine that? I say, look, in ksubas, I find base, with the same theme appears.
What about the Mu says, you said that you're not allowed to divorce. Mu says,
right, that's the
Gemara
here
on our
day.
It's more than an issus. Look, that's just a middle seedus there. I mean, no, it's not that laughter, it's just
it's not nice to cry.
But here it's more than that.
It means that it's improper.
Yeah, so that's...
No, Mizbech Maro. So the Gemara wants to know, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? The Gemara wants to know, anom et beis, ashayla halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? I have three sheetahs. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Malachi. The very end where it says Malachi perik beis. There's six lines from the end.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees there's an avera to divorce without reason. No, he says, but in this, it's not without reason. If he just dislikes his wife so much, because everything about her bothers him. If he's so consumed. I think he says that's not an avera. But then you have to pay ksuba though. He's not saying the same style as Beis Shammai Basil. He's just saying you're permitted, there's no avera to divorce your wife in this case. The Rishonim say the Rashbo and the Ramban and the Avodram, in the beginning of the Avodram is a commentary on the Siddur. So in the beginning of the Avodram there's a long tshuva that the Ravid had sent to Shalit to Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat. Apparently he was bigger than the Ravid. Our Ravid on the Rambam sent the Shaila to Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, it's an unknown figure. He's hardly ever quoted. The Miri quotes him in Erevin Epis two times, hardly ever known. So he asked him a Shaila, which mitzvahs do you recite a Birchas HaMitzvah and which not? And when you recite a Birchas HaMitzvah, when you give Tzedakah, you don't say Birchas HaMitzvah. A lot of mitzvahs, you know, the Heshev is Hagzela, when the Ganef returns the Gnevi, he doesn't say a Bracha. And then when you do say a Bracha already, when you say Al and when you say Le, Sheikh Shem Hassanu, Al Natilas Lulav, and sometimes you say Al Achilas Matz, and sometimes you say Lahadik Nashal Shabbos. When you say Le, when you say Al. So there's a long tshuva, a couple of pages long, to explain what the rules and regulations are. So in the middle of that tshuva, he also has this comment that the Ramban and Rashbo have later, in a later generation. They say, how come when a man gets married, he says a bracha, the Birchas Erusin. When a man gets divorced, he never say a bracha. And even in an instance when it's a mitzvah lagarish, the Gemara says, in the case of Beis Shammai, it's a mitzvah lagarish. If she's prutza in actions or in speech or in dress, it's a mitzvah lagarish. How come you don't say a bracha? So these Rishonim say because most of the time, when people divorce their wives, they're doing it b'aveira. So that's why the Tanoim, whenever Misak and Abichas and Mitzvah, and getting divorced, because most of the time it's b'aveira. So if you're going to leave it up to the person in each case to decide whether he's doing it the mitzvah or he's doing an avera, they're going to cover up. They're going to say, everyone is going to say he's doing a mitzvah. Most of the time it'll be a bracha levatol. So they didn't want to get involved. So he said, no bracha at all. You never say a bracha. That's what the Rishonim say.
The pasuk here, the Gemara treats this like it's two separate entities. B'hoyim im lo simsochein beino, right? And then they give that to Heta that he gets divorced, but it says in the pasuk ki matzavai
v'stava. I mean, why does Rabbi Akiva read ki not as in the sinas tam? The Gemara has ki mishamish b'dalad l'shem. It has so many different meanings, the word ki. So you can give it an additional, it's more than dalad l'shem. Rashi quotes on Chumash, it has four meanings, but it has more than four meanings. It has six or seven meanings. Rabbi Kiva somehow reads in such a way that there's a semicolon. Unless it's zechem b'yein of semicolon, or if motzah bo erbas dover, like Bishil read, erbas is one thing and dover is another thing. Bashab Shat is like Bisham, erbas dover is hyphenated. Bishil will say no, erbas is one thing, dover is another thing. So Rabbi Kiva reads the key as a separate unit. So Gemara has a discussion at the very end. Gemara quotes this pasuk from Malachi. For the Novi Malachi is complaining. Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk. Rashi quotes more. The last Rashi quotes more. The Navi Malach is complaining that the people are divorcing their wives without valid reason. Rashi quotes the Pesukim. So the Gemara quotes one section of the Pesuk, Ki Sonei Shaleach. Shaleach means Vishilcha Mibesa by getting divorced, and Sonei means somebody is hated. What do you mean? The husband hates the wife hates the husband, the Baruch Shalom hates them, they hate the Baruch Shalom. Who hates whom? Who is disliked? It's very unclear. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Shatanat Pasuk im snei so shalach. If you can't stand your wife and it's such a consuming dislike that you have, so you're allowed to divorce her. And Rabbi Yechanan interprets the Pasuk just the reverse. Soni ham shaleach. Whoever divorces his wife, the Rabbanu Shel Olam dislikes him. That's the girsa that we have. So it's mamish the opposite. Mamish the opposite. So the Gemara says, "V'loy pligi alocha lemaise." They're arguing how to read the pasuk in Malachi, but alocha lemaise. Bottom line, there's no stira. Hub is zivig rishon, hub is zivig sheni. What does that mean? If it's zivig rishon, then it's a terrible tragedy to get divorced. Amar Rav Lazer, kolam garish ishtu rishon afilam mizbech mer all of the moshen emar and so on. Taka pasuk there. In that nevuah and Malachi, when he complained, there must have been a magay for that. That they're all divorcing their wives without grout, so that's one of the divrei techocha that the Navi Malachi gives Musar about. So the pasuk says, "Kasos dimos mizbach Hashem bechi vanoka miyein od panos al mizbech elamincho." But lakachas rotzim, the mizbech is full of tears. The mizbech is crying, and the mizbech doesn't even want to do its normal function to accept any other korbanos. The mizbech is so busy crying over this couple who got divorced. That it can't even bring, it can't even take care of the normal korbanos. Strange expression.
Why the mizbeach doesn't put in here?
Why the mizbeach? Yeah.
It doesn't allude to the word that would indicate that this mizbeach is doing this because of divorce.
No, that's the pesukim of
Beferish. Before that.
Yeah, before and after. The whole section there, Malachi. Rashi quotes a little more. The whole section there, Malachi, is talking about those four pesukim. I'm talking about getting divorced. Why the Mizbeach? That's what the Mashua has. What did the Novi have a Loshem Mizbeach? So the Mashua has a famous comment. A lot of times doctors who work in the hospital are so used to seeing people die, they're so used to seeing blood, that they don't faint. When someone dies, they don't faint. One of the boys just died in Yeshiva last week. So it's the first time it ever happened. The boy died in the dormitory. So all the people in the dormitory are ready to, they don't know what to do. They never saw such a thing before. Someone died in front of their eyes. But some people who are, let's say the people who work in a morgue, doctors work in a hospital, the nurses, they see people die all the time, so they don't care. Right. So the Mashua has such a comment, he says, the Mizbeach always sees blood. They're always shechting karbonis beimis, are dying there all the time. The Mizbeach is so hard that it doesn't, you can never get the Mizbeach to cry. But if a first marriage leads to a divorce, that's such a tragedy that even the Mizbeach is going to cry. It's going to cry, it's going to be so obsessed with crying, it won't be able to go back to its functioning, normal functioning, to take care of the normal korbanos. That's how he reads the pasuk.
You could read them. There was a marriage in a shtetl, the whole city was shaking.
Yeah, it's because of time. Yeah.
It could be also that there have been shulam between Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam. So he is supposed to be shulam by Nishleishtoi, and that is broken up, so that's why...
Yeah, others say like that. Yeah. Others say like that. Yeah. The Marsha says this one, that the Mizbech is very hardened because of the dam. And other Mefarshim say that word, that the function of Mizbech is Shalom. And here's the opposite. So Halacha Lemaise, was bleibt again. Was bleibt Halacha Lemaise?
You say, how do you go back to brothers?
Yeah. This is what it says in the first Simen in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Gittin, the Simen Kuf Yutes. They quote this last line in the Masechta first. What do they say? If it's a Zibig Rishon, then you absolutely should not follow Rebbe Akiva. That's out of the question. You should not follow Rabbi Akiva, and you shouldn't really follow Beis Hillel either. You shouldn't follow Beis Hillel either. And if it's a Zivik Sheni, Okay, then we're going to pass either like, we're not going to pass like Bishamai, we're either going to pass like Rabbi Kiva, or we're going to pass like Bisil. That's the Shaila. So what does it mean? What do you mean by Zivik Rishon, we pass like Bishamai? Huh? That's what Rashi says. Kebishamai. Kebishamai. So the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer writes that there seems to be, it's very strange, says there seems to be a machlekes the tour in Rashi, how to understand the maskonas agmar. So the tour in the very beginning of Hilchos Gittin presents it ke'ilu, the machlekes Beshame Bisilo only is on Zivik Shem. On Zivik Rishon there never was a machlekes Beshame Bisilo.
They all hold that.
They all hold, you have to have Erbaz Dova. So how do you read the psukim in the Chumash that goes on Zivik Shem? The pasuk in the Chumash says a couple was married, they got divorced. And then she marries somebody else. And then the second husband either dies or divorces her. So it says, you're not a go remarry the first husband. So the pasuk goes, that's already Zivik Sheni? And that's already the third husband? That's what it goes on. So the pasuk left out the first paragraph. This woman has a whole baggage of a background that she was married before, he was married before. It's not the mashma. So that's why the Beis Shmuel writes that Rashi, this last Rashi in the Masechta, Ovi Kebeis Shammai, Rashi seems to learn that. So, Pashav Shad, Rashi learns the Machlege, Bisham Bisil goes on even on Zivik Rishon. But Halacha Lamaisa, we pass in a compromise. We don't pass in straight like the Bisil. We're certainly not going to pass in straight like the Bishama. So we pass in a compromise that in the Zivik Rishon, you should not follow Bisil or Shifu. In the Zivik Sheni, okay, then we'll pass like Bisil, like Rabbi Kiva.
What's so special about it?
The Zivik Rishon in the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that usually they help each other out to set up a parnasa, he goes through college. There should be more of a debt of hakaras atayv that they should owe each other. They should owe each other. They should love each other more because each one helped the other one out. They learned how to cook and they learned how to develop their personalities.
Even if they were married only for a week or so.
No, I don't know. That I don't know. That I don't know. That's a the Mishnah Melech and Hilchos Gerishin quotes a Psat Shuvah from one of the Achrayim in Maharsh Dama. Somebody has a shayla. Maybe the machlokes, maybe the whole sugi that we just learned, maybe the whole machlokes only applies after nisuin. There are two stages to marriage. There's erisin, and there's nisuin. Erisin hates when you give the ring and say Hariat Mekudesh Asli. That's erisin. In modern Hebrew, we call an engagement an erisin, but that's in the Din and the Gemara. That's called Sheduchin. That's not called erisin. If a couple gets engaged and they decide not to get married, so strictly speaking, you don't need to get. They're not married. It's gone. They just they break off the engagement, and that's all. There's a cherem hagoinim not to break off an engagement. So that's why some would have chassidish and others have the practice that they'd rather give a ring, say harei mekudesh, and then give a get. Rather than.
But that's worse according to what you just now said.
It's doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply in that case.
That's the shaila that the Mishnah Melech raises. So he quotes some Achrayim say, let me just explain this. Erisin and this, and since Erisin hates when you give a ring, say Harat Mekudesh, that's Erisin. And then when they stand under the chuppah, that's the furthest stage of marriage. She's considered Nesua. That's more. She's an Eshishish, the Veis HaBaal. That's the furthest stage. It's a full marriage. The Erisin is an incomplete marriage, and the Nisun is a complete marriage. So Mishnah Melech quotes Asvara and he pilpils whether this Paisik is right or wrong, whether the Tshuva Seif is right or wrong. Maybe the whole Machleg is only is after Nisuin. If they only had Erisin, maybe everybody agrees that you don't have to have such serious grounds for divorce. Even Beis Shammai would agree that Matzah Cheres no Hemenu, for any good reason, for any slight reason, you can get divorced. Only after Nisuin. Because after Nisuin, then they were working together, they started to develop each other's personality and help each other out. But before Nisuin, isn't it?
Well, the get after Erisin also makes a pusul lakoy, right? Makes a bushel lakoy. If they get
Erisin, yeah, sure.
So they make such a kuna to give a rink in the
that's what some people have such a practice. They quote from the Vilna Gaon also like that. They quote the Grohl was makbid. Rather than break off an engagement, a shiduchim. So the quote from the grow-ups are very surprising. By a lot of chassidish they makbid about that it's better to make a kiddushin, better to give a ring, get married, than to give a get, rather than to break the engagement. Because of the cherem hakadmoinim.
What cherem?
In Shulchan Aruch they quote the cherem hakadmoinim. In Eben Ezra, Simon Men. There's a cherem from the goinim not to break off an engagement.
Engagement meaning
shiduchim
or engagement?
No, shiduchim.
Engaged.
That's
not both.
Engaged to be married.
Engaged to be married. They didn't give the ring yet. They didn't say engagement ring. They didn't give the marriage ring yet. They didn't say Hariyat Mekudesh. So in Shulchan Aruch they say there's a cherem hakadmonim not to break an engagement unless you have very good grounds for divorce. So then they discuss what if the girl's sister became a mishamedes. So the Mechaber discusses that child. Is that considered grounds for breaking up? That's considered. That is considered grounds. Kayotze b'zeh. He found out that the girl's father was just arrested for laundering money or whatever. Some major reason. If you have a major concern, is that a major medical problem or something? It's a very major reason, so then you have a right. But if it's for minor details, then there's a cherem hakadmonim not to break an engagement. And the quote from the Vilna Gaon, why is it that the minig is that when the couple get engaged by the tanoim that they have, so you break a china dish, a plate, and when they under the chuppah they break a glass dish. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and that's what the chassidish say also, that a klicheres, the china dish, the Gemara says, is ain lo tara b'mikveh. If it becomes tamei, so there's no way to be metarit. The only way to be metarit is by smashing it. Masheni kena glass kli, if it's mekabel tumah, so it can be tovel in a mikveh and it'll become tahor. So that's what they quote from the Gemara and from others, from chassidish sources, that an engagement, once they get engaged, so there's no way you're allowed to violate the cherem hakadmonim. So the only brayer is to get married and then to give a get. Masheni can, if you get married, so then there is a way to give a get. Right?
No, it's a kli.
So that's why you use a kli zchuchis by the marriage, as opposed to a kli cheres by the engagement. That's the reason.
What would be the basis for this cherem hakadmonim?
Not to embarrass the other party. Not to embarrass the other party.
I heard that would only do that if there was denying but if there was no, that's why they avoid denying.
Uh-huh. Don't know.
They write a letter to each other
if they break an engagement, yeah. So then the minig is that they're moichel each other, b'ksav, and they say they're moichel any payments. If they want to be moichel, if they don't want to be moichel payments, they don't have to. Sometimes people pay large sums of money to demophyus the other party to break an engagement.
According to
Chazal,
Abraham and Yocheved, was
Gerushin
or a separated?
The Gemara says in Seita they got divorced, I think. He divorced his wife.
Under what condition? What's the condition of the divorce?
No, they both agreed to get divorced. If they both agreed to get divorced, then the Mizbeach is not going to cry. The Mizbeach is crying when...
Shalach.
No. The Gemara says the Mizbeach is going to cry if it's a krik. One doesn't want to get divorced. The husband doesn't want to.
Did they agree?
They both agree that each one wants to get divorced. They both want to get divorced and go try the luck somewhere else. That's not an issa. That's not considered a tragedy.
They didn't want to go someplace else. They didn't want to stay married.
Right. They didn't want to have any children. They didn't want to have more children for the Nazis to kill more people they didn't want. So they said no more children. So they got divorced. And then the daughter tainted. What do you mean? Yugzer is worse than Pharaoh. Pharaoh's only killing the boys. You're not going to have any children at all. That was the time. So that's the first, this Mishnah, the three Shittas, with the final Maskana, Zibig Rishon, Zibig Sheni, this is the first Simon and Ebenezer and Hilchos Gittin. What a grounds of divorce. Then, if we would have written the Masechta, we would have written the second Mishnah, we would have put the Pei Hei Amin Aleph, the last line on Pei Hei Amin Aleph. It tells you what is a get, what state in the get. It's Pillei Ploim, that you don't know what is the text of the get for over 80 Blat Gemara. You have to learn till Daf Pei Hei Amin Aleph, the last line. The yeshivas usually they don't get so far. The Daf Yomi Hatnish Kem Reva. The Daf Yomi goes every day. They go weiter. The yeshivas they usually don't live so long to get the Daf Pei Hei Amin Aleph. So that's the wichtig. The Mishnah says Gufa shall get. That's the bottom line on Daf Pei Hei Amin Aleph. What state in the text did it get? So it says it has to say Hareat Muteres Lechol Adar. That's a fascinating chiddush. That's a fascinating chiddush. What if I sell you a house? So I say, let's say I own the building, let's say 24 Bennett, I own the building, I'm selling you the house, 24 Bennett. So I have the right now in the start, and now you have the right to do whatever you want. You have the right to sell it, you can blow it up, you can explode it, you can live there, you can rent it. What is the Magashef to write what you can do? You'll do whatever you want to do. That's Memela, those are the Taitsoas. You have a right to do whatever you want. So over here also, I divorce my wife, so say, Harriet Magureshis Mani, I'm divorcing you.
What you want to do?
You want to remarry. You want to remain single for the rest of time. Remain single. Do whatever you want. That's not my geshef. What do I write for Haret Materas Lecholodim? The pashtus is that that's a teitzur. That's a teitzur. So why does the Mishnah say that this is crucial? This is gufa shall get. Sounds like it's ma'akev. Gufa shall get. Then the Mishnah goes weiter. Yeah. This is right. The Rashi says, Ike Ksav again. This is crucial. Why is it so crucial? Why is it so crucial, Daf and Pashtein? Then you go weiter. There's a Machloikis, Tanakame, and Rebuta. When I sell you the Shtar Mechiras Chometz, let's say, or I sell you my house in 24 Bennett, so I write, and this document should serve as the vehicle whereby you acquire the ownership of the house. I have to say, and this is the Shtar Kinyan. After writing big Kiddush Levana, I have to say, this is it. No! I write that building at 24 Bennett hereby belongs to you, and I sign my name on the bottom. I give you the Shtar. Why I have to write, and this Shtar should serve, and this is the Shtar Kinyan. This should serve, what I have to write that? So that's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that you must include, he writes in Aramaic, you have to write v'dein, v'zeh, do you have a lichim in oizeh yelechom imeni, this document should serve for you, say peturuchem igereshmukhem get peturin, this should serve as a document of divorce, limahach, laleches, you now have the right to go, lehis nasvo, to go marry, lehinosei, l'chol gvar, l'chol ben adam, di seitzvayin, shetirtzi. You now have the right to marry anybody you want. What does he have to write that this is the document? What do you need such an arichas dvarim? So you say, well, maybe we don't pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass him like the Tanakhama, that you don't need the Dain, that whole sentence. The Gemara states, no. The Chachamim also agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Amod Nadin. The Gemara says in the middle of the daf, I'm Pehei Omid Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Omid Dain, you have Yilich Menai Seif, it's Ruch Niger, Shvukin, there's a caption. It has two dots, then it quotes the quotation, citation from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "V'maykom if ligin vos b'shteit machloikes." Well, he has to write into the text that they get the day. So the Gemara tells Tzu Ashayla, there is a din of Yad. Yad heistaz, let's say a person takes a neder. So when he takes a neder, he has to say what? If goma b'libo, that's not good enough. He has to tzorch lefarish b'svasa. He has to say what he wants. It says in the Chumash, in Parshat Vayikra, Nefesh kisa shava levate bisvasam. You have to say the feirish. If you just think about it, then it's not a neder. So what happens if the person says an incomplete sentence? He doesn't say a full sentence. He doesn't spell out clearly. He doesn't spell out 100%. But based on what he said, we can understand. We can understand what he's driving at. So that's called a yad. Even though he didn't spell out everything explicitly, he said enough to figure out what's missing. So that Rashi always writes, it's like a handle of a kli that you can hold on. Here I have to hold on to the kli like this, and if you have a handle on the cup, you can hold the cup without even holding on to the cup. You hold on to the handle. Here also, this is called a yad of a loshen. He doesn't have a complete loshen, but from the haskolos haloshen that he said, you can figure out what the end of the loshen is. You can figure out. I remember many years ago when I was a little boy, I used to go to the movies. I remember there was a movie years ago. The way years ago the movies were kosher, yeah. they weren't so bad. So I remember there was a movie at this in the war years, in the Second World War. The Nazis had the people who were able to decipher all of the codes that the Americans. A made up movie that they could decode. They could decipher all the codes. They had to make up a code that they couldn't crack. They couldn't figure out how to do it. So the Americans made a code. They had an Einfall. They're going to use American expressions. They're not going to use words in the dictionary. Words in the dictionary they know also. They're going to use American expressions that whoever is a foreigner will not know. So they wanted to send a message. I remember that it's snowing there on the highways and they can't go weiter. So they called it the Great White Way. And other melitzas like that a foreigner would never hear of. They don't appear in a dictionary. So that's called a yad. When you start an expression, when you start a lashon, and everybody
unique for this particular
thing. Right, and everybody knows what the end of the sentence is. Das heistayad. That's considered as if you said the whole lashon. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the Dorim in a Nazir. What if the person says a haschol of the lashon? He didn't finish the whole lashon, and it's not 95% clear what he's driving at. That's called the yad hamachiyach. Based on what he said, it's kemat mefurish what he's driving at, how he's going to finish. What if he starts a lashon and it's 80% clear how he wants to theorize, but there's a 20% chance that that's not what he's driving at, and he says later on that's what he did mean. So do I say dosa galikta neverta? That's what he said, or do you say no? It only has the status of a lashon if it's very very clear, if it's kemat absolutely mefurish. So that's a machlekes amayroim and a machlekes atanoim abay v'rove machlekes, and that's called yad she'ein machia. It's not
here
so.
It's called yad in the legalistic language. It's called a footnote.
Sarega.
No, Yatim.
Footnote. I mean, yeah, but
footnote
it's
explains
no,
more.
No, but I mean, officially,
it's like
an SEC report.
It's
a footnote. Yeah, that's a, yeah. The footnote needs to explain that
could
it's
be.
A. In the official financial report, they call it footnote. So the Gemara has accepted. So the Gemara has interesting. The Gemara has like this: the Iker Adin, the Tanakame, is masking with Rabbi Yehuda that a get has to contain the statement, the Dain the Heavy Lichi Minoy. It has to say in the get that this document should serve as the bill of divorce with which you have, with which you get divorced, and you now have the right to remarry. Leleches lihi nasei lechol adam shetirtzi. These say it's fine. You have to include that. The whole machlekes of Yehuda and Rabbanan is Tanakama holds that it's muvan me'elov. What should then? What is megarish bal peh? It's understood, self-understood. So since it's self-understood, it's ki'ilu it were written. So the Tanakama holds it's considered as if it were written already. As if it were written, it's not, whatever is obvious is considered as if, even though the lashon is incomplete, as if it were spelled out. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, that's not sufficient. Maybe he really thinks that he's divorcing a bal peh, and the get is only a shtar raya. There is a 20% chance that some people think like that, that the divorce consists of something else, and the document that he gives is only that she should be able to prove that she's divorced. So that's the machlag Zabir and the Rabban Nalos Mikaradin. They both agree that he's supposed to write this into the text of the get. Very strange. So that's Rav Soloveitchik Menschman. We learn Gittin. Why should they both agree to such a strange thing? That you have to write this nusach into the get, Mikar Adin. You have to write that this should be the document. You don't have that in any other shtar. Shtar Mechiras Chometz. No other shtar do you say that this should serve as a document which should accomplish the kinyan.
When you say Sefer Chrisus, you want to make sure of the Chomet, the complete
Chomet. Well, it's a Reyat Muteres.
Is it
already?
That's unclear.
Look at the Rami in the Nanny.
Yeah, but why do you have to write that this piece of paper should serve as the document? Why is that necessary?
Look at the ramifications. If you marry someone and you're not fully divorced, you're married and they said, what did you mean? Maybe just be extra careful. Just look at the...
It's a chumer from thin air. Where did the Tanoim get this idea from? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, the name Rav Chaim. He quoted, the Mishnah has a machlekes ha-Tanoim. This is fundamental for the ABCs of Hilchos Gittin. The Mishnah has a machlekes on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We're getting back. Just we'll get this. One of these days we'll begin that day. We'll get there. So on Yud Tes Amud Aleph is an interesting machlekes ha-Tanoim. What if, let's say, the husband wants to divorce his wife, so he buys a beautiful cake, and he buys icing, and he writes, Hariat Mugoresh is many, and he gives her a gift. Instead of having an anniversary cake, he gives a get cake, and everything is written on that. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Even though the get is written on balchai, but the get is written on loichlam is good, and Rabbi Yehuda Glili holds that it's no good. In case from Leil Dovashesh Burachaim, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda Glili. We pass that it is good. So the Gemara wants to know, where did Rabbi Yehuda Glili get such an info? There is a kosov or something. Where does it say that you can't write a get on loichlam or on balchai? So the Gemara says he learns it out from the pasuk. The Gemara is over here, Achof Aleph on the base, on the fifth line from the top. The Gemara is, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Glili Yomer Vechulei. On the fifth line from the top of Achof Aleph on the base. The Gemara asks, it's on right, Achof Aleph on the base. Next moment. Achof Aleph, Achof Aleph on the base, on the top of on the base. So the Gemara asks, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda Glili, it must be a pasuk. It doesn't sound like a svara. Must be a pasuk somewhere. How does he get such an einfach? So the Gemara says, the Tanya, we have a brisa. It says, because of law, sefer krisus. So the word sefer usually means parchment. But Allah HaLamayisim, you know, you can write the get on paper. We don't write the get on parchment. We write on thick paper. Years ago, the minhag used to be that they always used to write the get on parchment. And then there was a period of time that the Jews were so poor they just couldn't afford it. So they switched to write it on paper. And then later, when they got wealthier again, so the Gedolim said, Kadesh Alodah Siglaz, or Gitna Harishonim, no one should think that the Gitna were written on paper are no good. So they said, Mikan V'yelech, we're going to continue to write all the Gitna on paper. And that's what we do at our Yomim. We write all the Gitna on paper. We don't write it on parchment anymore. So the Gemara wants to know, Tolish, Vashtesh, has to be Tolish. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that you don't need parchment? the word sefer usually does mean sefer Torah.
Yes.
Or it says by Megillah Soita, the Kasva Kohen Sa'ola Sa'ila Ba Sefer. When the Kohen makes this Soita swear that she was not Mizaneh, so he has to write down the Shvuah Ba Sefer, and then you erase it, you erase it into the Maim Hamarim, and she drinks the Mei Soita. So their Sefer also means parchment. So why should I say over here that Sefer does not mean parchment? So the Gemara says, well, I darshan, the Kasav Lo, Sefer Krisis, the Kasav Mikomakom. It's Marbe, whatever you write on it, as long as you have any background. So once you marba mikomakom, any background is acceptable. So why in the world does it say sefer? So Rabbi Yehuda says really tiny is that the background has to be chodesh dumi the sefer. Ma sefer parchment is not balichayim and it's not oichlim. Ma sefer dov v'shem baruachayim bein oichel. Af kol dov v'shem baruachayim bein oichel. Any other background is acceptable. You can have metal, you can have wood, paper, wood, stone, whatever you want. Everything is fine, provided that it should be dumi the sefer. It shouldn't be Eichelim and it shouldn't be Balichayim. But the Rabbanon disagree. We don't paskin like we paskin like the Rabbanon. We don't paskin like basically. We paskin, you can write the get on the cake. You can give her a divorce cake. And you can write the get on Yad Ho'eved. And you can write the get on the Parah also, on the baby. You can tattoo it. So if we don't darshin, that has to be Dumi the Sefer. So why does it say Sefer Bechlam? Why does it say Sefer? So the Gemara says, no, the Rabbanon hold. If it would say because of law ba sefer, yeah, so then the word sefer means the parchment, the background on which you write. Because of law ba sefer, but it doesn't say because of law sefer
krisis. Because of
the sefer,
how does it say ba sefer?
Does it say ba sefer? Because of the sefer, the coin should write the shvue on a parchment, ba sefer on parchment. Shokayama, yeah.
Yeah.
But
on an animal, it'll grow out.
I mean, maybe they make a tattoo on the arm. Let's say they brand the farmers have cows and they burn in a tattoo. They burn in the name of the cake. Will also decay. Everything will decay. If you write a get on a piece of parchment, it'll also decay. If you leave it long enough, it'll disappear. But it has a shel kayama for a period of time.
She gets back.
Okay, yeah. She needs it in order to be able to prove. We'll have to learn that. So she'll have to figure out how she's going to eat up her divorce cakes. How she's going to prove that she's divorced. Okay.
Good.
Okay, we'll have to learn the Gemara. What's considered, what do you need for a style? Okay. So the Gemara says like this. If we would say over here by the get, the same way that it says over there, the cost of HaKoyin is all the sailor, ba sefer, then the word sefer means parchment. Kidiku Amrit, then Rabbi Yisrael Glili would be right. Kidiku Amrit, like you said, that the word sefer means parchment, and you would chach and insist that it should be dumi the sefer. At least lemutei balichayim, lemutei yochlem. Abahash the dichsiv sefer doesn't say ba sefer. So the word sefer does not mean the background on which you're writing. It rather refers to the text of the get. Because of law, he should write sefer kris. He should write a text of the get. So what does it mean? L'sfiras dvarim hudi asa. The word sefer kris means the text of the get. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The name of his grandfather Rav Chaim. What do you mean? You need a gzeiras hakasa to tell you that you have to have a text in the get. What else is it? What would you think? That you give a blank piece of paper? So what was the get? So he said, no!
It has to be the specific. The sefer, the totality of it.
So that's what you see from this more. You need extra words in the get. The bare loshen, hare, I'm divorcing you. That's the chapkiret. That's what a shtar is. A shtar means you're right.
So you need the pasuk.
This pasuk tells you need extra loshenis. So what are the extra loshenis? So that's the Mishnah on Pei. So the Mishnah, the first line in the Mishnah on Peivav is also a chiddush. What was it? Peivav? Peihei. Peihei Omed Aleph is also a chiddush. Step number one is also a chiddush. The gufa shall get, how you say Rashi says, Zika ksava get. You have to say Hariyam Materis L'Chalodom. Why do you have to say Hariyam Materis L'Chalodom? What is that Magishef, what she's going to do with the get? I hereby divorce you. You're not my wife anymore. You figure out what you're going to do.
So you say Materis L'Chalodom. Since he said Mikudashesli in the first place, so he says Mikudashesli. It's because it's the opposite of
that. Yeah, you're right, but it's not exactly right, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Kiddushin that the expression that we use, Hariat Mekudesh Esli, is a Lishna Derabbanan. That's a rabbinical language. On the level of the Raisa, you never find such a Lashon. Hariat Ishti, Hariat Arisasi. You use a different Lashon. You don't say Hariat Mekudesh. Mekudesh means I create an Iser that you're not allowed to live with anybody else. That's a Lishna Derabbanan. But on the Lishna Deraisa, it's Hariat Ishti. So when he divorces her, let him just write Hariat Mekudesh is Memeni, a Farthik. So the answer is no, we have a pasuk that you need Sfiras Dvarim Yiserim, that you have to write in the Nusach of the Get extra Lashonis, right, that it should have Shufar Dishtar. That's what the Gemara and the Rishon call Shufar Dishtar, should have extra Arichas Dvarim. So what is required? So one thing that's required is the Hariat Mutaris L'Holadim. Another thing that's required, Bein L'Rab Yudah, Bein L'Rabbanim, is this Lashon V'dein D'Habidich Minoy. You have to write this into the Lashon of the Get, that this is the vehicle with which I am divorcing you. The only machlekes of Yudah and the Rabbanan is that the Tanakama holds that that's muva me'elov, so it's always a yad shein machir, so it's muva me'elov, it's considered as if it's written. But mikaradin, they all hold that the more correct way to write the get is to include the day they have ilichim inoy. You have to write that into the nusach of the get.
The rabbanu start off with the you should write it in Hebrew, right? Hayat Muteres.
Yeah.
Rav Yudah comes to go and says you should write it in Aramaic.
That's what another Eisik. That's another Eisik.
Does it mean today that you have to, because Rav Yudah says she has to understand it, that's why he switches to Aramaic?
No.
Or what? Does it
no,
have to be in Aramaic?
No, that was the common practice, Bizman HaTanoi.
But so today if you would write in English, would be good also?
Would also be good. Just in Shulchan Aruch it says that we are afraid to be, the Ramor writes, we're afraid that we may not translate properly, we may write the wrong shade of a meaning, so we leave everything the way it was.
But we have to explain it, what she doesn't understand. But so you're explaining it anyway, so you're using the language, but you may not have to give it the right explanation. So you, either way, you're in trouble, whatever you do.
Okay. No, she has to understand the concept of what's happening. Yeah.
So the concept, you can write in English also the concept.
Yeah, but as I said, the meaning is that we're afraid to be Mishana. The Ramo already writes, we're afraid to be Mishana. The Nusach was worked out. Doesn't matter. We tell her what it says. She has to understand. She has to understand what the concept of divorce is. That's
it. The actual piece of paper.
Yes, that's a Shtar Kinyan. That's why it's called a Shtar Kinyan, right.
So in order to get a release, that's the same thing. I mean, is she making the Kinyan? You're giving her the Kinyan.
The husband makes the you don't even need her consent. Mikra Adin Deraisa to get is Chal, even if it's Bal Korcha. You don't even need the woman's consent. It's an obligadoda to give a get Bal Korcha, but the din is that the get is Chal. The only thing that's needed for the get is the Das HaBal. You don't need Das
HaBal. If I'm giving something away, do I give a Kinyan? I mean, like, the person who's buying it from me or something like that, he needs it, right?
Yeah, she makes the Kinyan Yad. No, it says Venasan Biyad. She makes the Kinyan Yad. Either Kinyan Yad or Kinyan Chotzer. That's what we learn after the book. Venosan is Marbe even Kinyan Chotzer. It's either Yad or Chotzer acceptable. And now the Kinyanim is a Shaila. What about Kinyan Hakboho? Let's say they have a get. The husband rolls out the get like a diploma, like this. And then he gives it Biyadu Ish, and her hand is not big enough. So he puts it into her hand like this. So half of the get is sticking out on the side, but she's holding the get very high. So would that be acceptable or not? So Rabbi Kivega came up with a chumra that's no good, that only the part of the get that's in her hand, that's called a kinyan yad. Or let's say if he folds up the get and he puts it in her hand like this, so the part of the get that's in her hand is mamish yad, the part that sticks up above is called avir yad. That's the avir above the yad, just like the Gemara has a din kinyan chotzer. If he puts the get in her rishus is good, or if it goes into the avir above the rishus, Avir Chatzav is also good, so Avir Yad is good. So if he gives the get, if he folds the get up and Mamish fits in, usually she sticks out of hands like this. So if he puts the get in like this, it's Mamish Yad, the whole get is in a hand. If the get is sticking up like this, so half of the get is Yad, half of the get is Avir Yad, that's also good. But if the get is sticking out like this, and he puts it in like this, so the part that's in a hand is Yad, the part that's sticking out is Hagbo. That's what the Nesivos points at, that's Hagbo. So if Kiveka came up with an einfold that Hagbo is no good by get. So he said, the get is no good. But for hundreds of years, everybody was giving the gittin like that. So they say, he says, all the gittin were no good. Are you saying that all the children are mamzerim? He says, they are mamzerim. I shalol ha'otilaz al gittin ha'rishayim. So he says, what he means? They are mamzerim. What do you mean shalol ha'otilaz? He says, what's ha'laz? Ha'laz means when it's false. He says, it's demis. He says, it's demis. Tosfos says, beferish, that Hagbo is good and Mashiach is good. And Rabbi Kevega takes on, Rabbi Kevega has a Yerushalmi. Based on a Yerushalmi, he says that Hagbo is no good and Yad is no good. Hagbo is no good and Mashiach is no good. This is the only two kinyonim that are acceptable. Are Yad, that's the pasuk. Venosan beyada Yad, and Chotzer is good because it says Venosan and Marbe Mikomakam. That Chotzer is also good. So that's what he writes in his Shuvas. And even though people tina that I'm there's a cherem that Rabbeinu Tam shalol hotzilaz al gittin harishayim. And usually right after the get is completed, so the Masada get, the Rav who is organizing everything, usually makes an announcement that no one should be Maitzi Laz on the get. So Rabbi Kevega says, but in this case, what do you mean? The Hotzi Laz means Shaloi Kedin. If there's nothing wrong with the get, he says all the getin were no good. Whoever Taka doesn't give the get the way I say. Take Takanish, that's what he said. But his opinion was not, based on Yerushalmi, his opinion was generally not accepted. Very few misadri gitin achoshish Rabbi Kevega is chumra. Yeah, because we know Hakbo is good, Ayad is good, but Rabbi Kevega wants to be mechadish. The baiget, the only two kinyanim that are acceptable are Yad or Chotzer, and Hakbo would not be acceptable.
By Shtar Kinyan, it says by Yirmiyahu that it should be by sefer, right? What does it mean there? That Shtar Kinyan can only be written on parchment? When you speak there about writing the chasoyim with the kli cheres to put them on yam the yom rabbi, what is
the stammer the same as by get? The stammer just right.
Yeah, no,
that's one kinyan. Either kinyan kesef or kinyan shtar.
So what is more than that kinyan shtar? Parchment there by
no, mistammer it's a kal v'chaimer from get. That if get is good b'chol dover, so shtar kinyan karka certainly good b'chol dover.
Even though it says
about safer. Yeah, because about safer v'chasayim, mistammer it's a kal v'chaimer from get isha.
But by other places, by the soita b'sefer means zavke parchment. So
right,
sometimes like this and sometimes like that.
No, the word sefer always means parchment. When it's speaking about a background that you're writing on, so the word sefer means parchment.
Yeah.
But avir baget, it doesn't mean the background, it means the text of the get.
Right.
And the halacha says that the background could be even alav shel zayis. Could be paper, could be wood, could be metal, could be anything. So the mailer, that pasuk that speaks in Yirmiyah about a shtar is the same as a get. A get is also a shtar. So from the pasuk in Chumash, we already know that a shtar doesn't necessarily have to be parchment. So what did Nambi over there?
But this text, if it's not written this way, it's not shtar, the get is not shtar.
Yeah, and daf pei hey, yeah. What is it? Daf pei wherever we will. Daf pei hey. If it doesn't say harei mataris l'chaladim is no good. That's the gzeras hakasuv of sfiras dvarim. You need sfiras dvarim same. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Mishnayos make it very clear that when you give a get, you have to have the name of the husband and the name of the wife. Let's say if I write I owe you $1,000 and I sign my name and I give you the document, it doesn't say who you is.
Right.
You just say I owe you. So whoever produces the shtar has the right to collect, the Gemara says. Whoever produces the shtar can collect. But by a get, state the Farish has to have the shame abal and the shame uisha. Where did that come from that you need the shame abal and the shame uisha? So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. So the Tosfos, I forgot already where the Tosfos is, the Tosfos on the Amud Aleph raises the question, how do you know that you need the Shema Baal? Well, here it is. That's not the Shema.
Right.
No, the Shema means that.
The Taisis on Chof Amir Aleph
asked the question, how do you know that you need Shema Yashma? Well, being in Shema Yashma, the Taisis discusses, where does it, how do you know that you need? Because the law means that you need ksiv al lishma. It's a different thing. When the sefer writes to get, he has to have in zin that this couple is going to get divorced. It has to be authorized by the husband to write the get. And he has to have in mind that this get should serve as the vehicle with which he's going to divorce his wife. But it doesn't. Lishma doesn't mean it has to include the husband's name or the wife's name. The Gemara says in Adav Chofim and Aleph, the second thesis from the top, Habina Shema Yishma. The Gemara says has to say the Shem Oisha and the Shem Oisha. So thesis says, where did they get this idea from? So we'll have to learn, Taisa says, it depends on Rav Meir and the Rabban, could be the Reis, it could be the Rabban, it has all discussion. So the Ran on that Gemara has a famous comment that they quote in Ibn Ezra. No, Nishke Machloikis. We learn that from Sfiras Dvarim.
Yeah.
When that passage from Sfiras Dvarim, it tells you that a get needs more of a nusach than all other shtaris in the world. You have to have sfiras dvarim yisem, you have to pad the get with extra verbiage. And one of the extra lashanis is that you have to have the shma yashma. It has to have the names. If you don't have the names, then it's a psul derais. That's one of the dinim. That's one of the special dinim of
the
get.
It would be interchangeable, then it wasn't written for this particular occasion. Then it has to, if it's without a name, it has to come out from a printed rather than give it to him. So therefore, they have to written for the name.
No. That's another thing. Well, that's what we're going to get to. That's another thing. There's a Mishnah.
Mokam, no.
Mokam years ago, Mokam used to be a chelik of the name. His name is Shimon Varshava, or Belia Vilna. The Vilna's name was Belia Vilna. So the name of the city where he came from and the name of the city where she came from is part of the name. They had no last name.
Where did the name of the rivers come from?
The name of the river, that's a Gemara in Shabbos. In Bamei Madlikin, the Gemara says also, only by get, not by ksuba, not by other stars. By get, the Bzman HaGemara, they used to identify the city. Probably a lot of New Yorks, there are a lot of Cairos. If you drive up in the mountains, there's a Cairo, and there's a Paris, and there's every state has every, Florida, everything, Goshen has everything. So you have to write which rivers and which lakes and which oceans are nearby in order to identify the name of the city. That's a chelik of the description of the city. And the city where they used to be born was a chelik of the description of the person. That's it.
How did the Gemara know that the machlekes of Yidden Rabban is a Yad Shem Yechiyach is good enough? Maybe machlekes is a Yad Shem Yechiyach, a Yad Shem Yechiyach.
The Gemara suggests that pshat. The Gemara gives an alternate pshat. Yeah, not that. The Gemara suggests maybe that's not the machlekes. But originally, the Gemara says that they both agree that they didn't eat it. It's machlekes by the Yad Shem Yechiyach is good. From this pasuk sefer, Rashi and Menachos. Now we're getting to daf. Now we're getting to the first tesis.
Getting close.
The first tesis. The first tesis quotes from the Geonim. When you ask about a get, everybody knows the first tesis. That a get has 12 lines with the two has 14 lines. The get itself has 12 lines, and the signatures on the bottom are 2 lines, one under the other, 14 lines sach hakol. So the Geonim write a lashon like this. Tesis quotes it from the Rav Sadia Goen and Rav Hai Goen. Rav Sadia and Rav Hai Goen. That before the Sefer begins to write the get, he should make Sirtut. He should make the 12 lines in order to write. Where did they get this Einfall from Sirtut? When you write a Mezuzah, the Gemara says you need Sirtut. When you write a Megillah Sestah, you need Sirtut. Write a Sefer Torah, a Machlekes Rashi and Tesis, but you need Sirtut in every line. Where does it come off that you need? So the Rashi Shita is that that's also learned off in the word Sefer, because there's a Gemara in Soita, on Daf Yud Zayin on the base, but the Gemara speaks about the Megillah Soita, when the Soita swears that she didn't do anything wrong, she's Muteris Labayla, so the Kohen has to write the Shuv, because of Kohen, so all the Sayla Basef, he has to write it down. So the Gemara says, Sova Igeres, if the Kohen writes the Megillah Soita in a form of an Igeres, like a letter, Psula. What? Shenemar? Basefer. What does it mean? What does an Igeris mean? So Rashi has a machlekes with Tosfos. Rashi teaches that it means if you didn't have Sirtut and the Megillah Soita is possible, because that's the definition of a Sefer. The word Sefer implies that you need Sirtut. That's the way Bizman HaTanach, that's the way they would normally write a Sefer. So that's how Rashi writes in Soita Daf Yud Zayin on a base. Rashi Menachos writes the same in a get to a get, that it says, because of Allah Sefer Krisus, and the word Sefer, just like it has the connotation of Sirtut. By Megillah Soita, so too, it has a connotation. Rashi also that a Sefer Torah also has to have Sirtut on every line. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, that the Megillah Sester is compared, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, what does it mean? Kamita Shel Torah, like the real McCoy. Just like the real McCoy needs Sirtut on every line, so to the Megillah Esther needs Sirtut on every, what's the real McCoy? So Rashi says, Sefer Torah. What is it then? Sefer Torah. Rabbi Natam and Tosfos all over disagrees with Rashi. Says, no, the real McCoy is Mezuzah. That it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's Kabbalah Samach Shema. Sefer Torah, he says, not true. Doesn't need Sirtut on every single line. He says, it's not true. Only Megillah, only a Mezuzah needs Sirtut on every line. A Megillah Sester is compared to the Mezuzah. So the Rabbi Natam is not so convinced. But a Sefer Torah is called Sefer. So he says the word Sefer doesn't imply that you need Sirtut and a Mehecha Teisa. Where does it come from? So what did the Gemara say that a Megillah Soita Sheksava Igeres Psula? What does it mean? So Taisa doesn't finish off the statement of the Rabbi Natam, but the Meforshim, the Keren Ur, and the others explain. Rabbi Natam probably learns in Gansan a different shot. And Igeris means that you write, when you write a letter, you're not so medactic on spelling sometimes. Molei, Choser, you're not so medayik. So if you write the Megillah Soito, not exactly verbatim, letter, word for letter, the way it appears in the Sefer Torah, that's psula. Ksava Igeris means you wrote it in a sloppy fashion, you weren't medayik on the Kri and Ksiv and the Molei and Choser. But if you were medayik, right, Megillah Esther is called Igeris. The Gemara said, missing a word, it has an extra word, spelled wrong, Nishgefela. Even if you're laying it wrong a little bit, it's also Nishgefel, as long as not Mishana Esuinyan. Nishgefel, because it's called Igeris. So the same over here, that's how the Rabbi Natam understands the Gemara, that if you write in Megillah Seita Igeris, means you weren't medactic on the Haseris, Viseris, and the Kriyan Iksid, that would pass the Megillah Seita, but he denies that you need Sirta than every Abbas. The Megillah Seita is more halig than the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Natam holds that the Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirta than every line. How can you say that the Megillah Seita needs Sirta than every line? So Rashi and Menachas on Daf Lamed Beis on Beis, in the middle of the sugya of Sefer Torah there, Rashi writes beferish that a get needs sirtat on every single line, because it says Sefer Krisus, and the word Sefer, according to Rashi, has the connotation of sirtat, and that's what the Goinim say. You have to make, Taisa doesn't quote the whole, because Taisa doesn't hold from the whole thing.
Yeah.
Taisa holds that you don't need sirtat on every line by the Sefer Torah, you don't need sirtat by the Megillah Seita, you certainly don't need by the get. The word Sefer does not have the connotation of sirtat on every line. Not true. When the Gemara says Ksava Igeris Psula by the Megillah Seita, means you weren't medactic on Moli and Choser, and you weren't medactic on the Kri and Ksid. But there's no din of sirtat. So that's why Taisa doesn't quote the whole statement from the Gaonim. But you look in the other Rishonim, in the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote, they say the Gaonim say you have to start off by being Mesarta to get. That's the minig. You start off by being Mesarta to get because it states that you need the Sefer, Rashi Shita. The Beit Shmuel says on the side, Rashi Shita Menachas, that you need Sirta and Slikuva. And then the Beit Shmuel says, but we don't pass like Rashi Kamavua, but Taisa. Taisa says, Sinit Tazai. The Bishmul is the Meforish on the side of the Ebenezer.
The rumor just came out that by get, Sefer doesn't mean Sefer, but means
text.
So how do you write it on an animal, you're going to make Sirtut? On the skin of an animal?
About in the Pella, how can it be? If the word Sefer means the background on which you're writing, so you say not only does it have to have a special kind of a background, it has to have lines also, but if you say that it goes on the text, so how can you say that the word Sefer has the connotation of Sirtut also? About it, it's a Pella. The Poshib Shat and that Gemara, the way the Rabbana disagree with Rabbi Yosef Lili, is upgefreg the ganze Rashi. How can you pass like
therefore,
Rashi?
Therefore, when it says Sefer, it cannot be Mole, it cannot be Chaser, it has to be the perfect text, just like the...
No, the perfect
the
text.
Going.
No, yeah, perfect yeah. Text is by Megillah Soito.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
By get, there is no text. By get, you can use any text. We
so
happen to have
the
a text.
Sefer, the word Sefer, we use for the perfection of the text, because if the text is wrong, it's just by the Soito, it's possible it's the text.
Okay, by the Megillah Soito, if the text is wrong, it's no good. But over here, that's the Shaila. How can Rashi, that's the eyes in the Taina, how can Rashi say that the word Sefer has the connotation of Sirtut? Rashi writes in Mefurish, in Soita daf yidzayin amin beis menaget to Megillah Soita, and Menachas lamin beis menaget to get to get. How can he say that? That would have been good if he would have held like Rabbi Yosef Glili that the word Sefer goes on the background on which you're writing. Iha because of Sefer Kiriku Amrit, the Rabbana said you would have been right. Sefer goes on the text, on the Nusach. So what would he mean the Nusach needs a Sirtut? Nusach means the text, it doesn't go on anything tangible. Zatela. Avada. So Mikra Din, we don't hold like Rashi, but Lachatchila, the Mechaber writes, we're Machma like Rashi to make the sheet and to make the 12 lines. So the Sirtut is not Ma'akev, and the 12 lines are Zichan, not Niyan. 12 lines, where does the 12 lines come from? This is such a Zaitigat topic, such a pillar that Taisus writes this, and that's what everybody knows. Get has to have 12 lines, yeah. So they have one opinion is that Get the Gematria is 12, Gimel Tess is 12. But then they quote from the Goinim, that's not what the Goinim said. Who said that's what the Rabbi Natam? Rabbi Natam said the Gematria. The Get the Gematria is 12, the first Taisus in the Masechta. But then they quote the Rav Sadi and Rav Aigoin said, because it says, Sefer, because of the Sefer Krisus. Sefer Krisus means when you have a Sefer Torah, so the Gemara says in Baba Basra, you have to leave four blank lines in between Bereshis and Shmos, and four blank lines in between Shmos and Vayikra, and four blank lines in between Vayikra and Bamidbar, and four plus four plus four is 12, and that's called Sefer Krisus, the number of lines, you have to have the number of lines in a get, the number of sirtut, and then again, you have to have it corresponding to the number of blank lines that you have in between the chumashim. Sefer krisis. Then Taisus asks on the going, and they forgot that they're chamish and chumash etayra. What happened to dvarim? So they give. Yeah. Even if you assume that it's a sefer b'fnei atzmo, they're really seven svarim, but you don't have blank lines there. You have nun and hafuchin. So that's not there. That's not that kasha is not so there. But what happened to dvarim? So Taisus says the last three lines in Taisus, they ask on the Goinim. The Goinim don't explain themselves. The Goinim just say Sefer Krisus. The Goinim a lot of times have things that are such strange comments, not to be believed. Like, so he says the Hefsik Shebein Vaidaber LeMishnah Torah LeChashiv. Why don't we count it? She'en Ela Chayze V'Sheinim Ashalamanu. That's why you call it Mishnah Torah. It's a Chazorah. What does that mean? It's a Chazor. There are dinim written in Chumash, the Dvarim that don't appear anywhere else in the Torah. Yeah, there are many dinim. Gittin, and Achanam, Gittin, Chalitza, Yibum. There's so many things that are written there. What do they mean? Pilei Ploim. So in the Chassidish Dvarim, they say a little different Mahalaf. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said over, and someone published the whole Droships last year, 2 years ago, someone printed it. That in the Chassidish Svarim they write that Sefer Dvarim is the beginning of the Torah Shebal Peh, because Rashi quotes in the Medrash in the beginning of Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu started to explain Bayer Hetev. So Bayer Hetev, Rashi says B'shivim Loshen, he was explaining everything and explaining, translating and interpreting and everything. So even though it's written in the Kisri HaKodesh, it's part of the Chamishu Chamishu Torah, but the beginning of Dvarim, Heishrin, the Haschola, Moshe Rabbeinu is starting to elaborate. It is Torah Shebichsav, but the Torah Shebichsav is describing Moshe Rabbeinu transmitting Torah Shebal Peh. So the Sefer Krisus, according to the Gaonim, only goes on the first, the lines that separate the first four Svarim, which are the Torah Shebichsav. And that's the fifth Sefer, is really a description of Torah Shebal Peh. The whole thing is a tell.
The first four was that Hashem was medava begoyno shel Moshe, right?
Yes.
But the forum was not
Moshe mepiyatzma, right? That's what the Rishonim have a girs in the Gemara and Yevamos like that. The Nechumish Dvarim Moshe mepiyatzma amar. The Gemara has it about the Teicheche. The Gemara in the end of Megillah says that there's a difference between the Teicheche in Parshas Bechukoysa and the Teicheche in Parshas Kisavoy. That the Teicheche in Bechukoysai is worse because the Rabbanu Shalom is speaking.
Yeah.
The Teicheche in Kisavoy is not so bad, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. So one gets, because that's how it says. It says in Kisavoy, Yakcha Hashem, the Rabbanu Shalom should do. And in Bechukoysai it says, Gabani Elechimachem Machamaske, I will punish you. It doesn't say the Rabbanu Shalom should punish you. So the Teicheche in Bechukoysai, the Shechina is speaking, Teicheche in Kisavoy, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. So we read the Gemara in the end of Megillah. So you get the impression, Gemara just making a contrast between the Nusach of the Teicheche here, Nusach of the Teicheche there, then in Mechukais is much more chomer than in Kisavoy, and there's a difference halacha l'maisa, that Mikaredin, you're not allowed to make Koisophis in Mechukaisai, but you are permitted to make Koisophis in the middle of Kisavoy, because it's not so bad. But the Rishayim had a Giris in the beginning of Yivamis on the Avdala Demanav, the Ravon, on the side of the Gemara. They quote the Giris as a Ravon, that the whole Chumash Dvarim is Moshe Mepiyatz Ma'amor. What's for Aloshen Ados? What do you mean, Moshe Mepiyatz Ma'amor? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained based on the Sifri HaChassidus, that what it means is that the Chumash Dvarim is Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah, the Chumash is describing Moshe Rabbeinu giving over Torah Shebal Peh, and that's why we darshan psukim differently in Chumash Dvarim as opposed to the first four Chumash.
Smuchim.
The Gemara has that nafkamina, ben aget the Smuchim. So that's the first Taisus tells you why.
12 lines.
Yeah, but the 12 lines, the way the Goinim said it, they said that you need sirtut. The Goinim write like Rashi, that you need sirtut on the get, just like you need sirtut on a Megillah Saita. That's how they understood the Gemara. Ksava Yigeres Psula, because it says, because of Akana Sa'ala Sa'ala Ba Sefer. And here also says Sefer, so they understood you need sirtut. And you have to make 12 sirtutin because of the Pasuk of Sefer Krisus. Anyway, this is all just hakdama. Getting down halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah jumps. The first Mishnah jumps in the middle of everything. The din is that the husband has to give the get to his wife directly. The Gemara has a din. Let's say the husband will put the get on the table and tell the wife, "You pick up the get." Hariat Mugoresh is many. So the Gemara has a statement. Rava says the din, but it's not Rava didn't discover America. It's a real din deraisa here. Also, here it's on Ayin Ches Amin Aleph. It should have been in a more prominent place. more prominent place, but this is the premise of the very first Mishnah. And I in Chesem and Aleph, right after the first Mishnah, this, right smack in the middle of the Yom, they have the Omar Rav, the second line right after the Mishnah. The Omar Rav, Tili Gita Magabi Karka, La Yom Aklum. If the husband puts the get on the floor, puts the get on the table, and he tells the wife that she should pick it up herself, so that's no good. Why? He says, V'nosam B'yoda. The Baal has to do a Maisa Nesina, and if he doesn't do the Nesina, she does the Lekiche, it's no good. So that's why we understand.
Isn't
the Hatzera? The Hatzera, he has to put the get into her Chatzera. If it's her Shulchan. It's her Shulchan, so he puts the get on, he says, Hariat Megoresh is many, and that's the Nesina. But if it's his Shulchan, or it's in the library, or it's in the Shul, and he puts it on the table, and he says, I give you permission to take the get, the Hariat Megoresh, so then it's no good. So if you have to have that, the Baal has to give the get. And what if the Baal lives in one Medina and the wife, they're separated already a long time, he lives in New York and she lives in California, so he sends a shliach. So what do you mean he sends a shliach? But what's going to be with the Nesina? Who's going to do the Nesina? So that's what we learn out from the pasuk that shluchu shaladim kemoisai. Let's say if I want to give you a shtar to be kind of karka, let's say I own 24 Bennett and I want to give you by this. If I write a piece of paper and I put it on the table, and I say, I give you permission, you want to be kind of the house, pick up the piece of paper. That's good. So if I want to send a shliach to give you the shtar, I don't need a shliach, I can send a goy also. Yeah. I can send it in the mail. Yeah. When you'll pick up the shtar, kinyan hakarka, it'll belong to you. All the kinyanim are always done by the lekeach. That's what you said before. Every kinyan is supposed to be done by the lekeach. You want to make a kinyan on metaltlin, I have to make the kinyan yad, the mashiach, the hakbor, the chotzer, I have to do the kinyan. By karka also, let's say a chazoke, the lekeach makes the chazoke kesef. The lekeach pays the money. Shtar, he does the tfisas hashtar. Chalipin is right. Chalipin is a different story. Taka yotzim in a klo. But all the normal kinyonim, chalipin is a very irregular kinyon. All the normal kinyonim are done by the lekeach. So a normal shtar, I don't have to make a shliach to send you the shtar. I can give the get to a goy. Even though the goy is not a bashlichis, that's not a problem. The minute that you'll get the shtar in your hand, and I'm asking, I consent, I agree that when you get the shtar, you should be kanekaki, you don't need a shlichis. By a get, the isha is a chidish din that you need a shliach because you need nesina. And tligitach magabi karka is no good. So when I want to send somebody to give you the get, you're just going to have to get, the wife is going to get in her hand toiknish. So you need a shlucha shlodim kemoisa. We learn out from a pasuk that when the shliach gives the get to the isha, the nesina sa shliach is farechent as the nesina sa baal. Yoda ki yodi. And the Nesina of the Shliach is considered as if the Baal did the Nesina, and that's why she becomes Megoresh. So that's the premise of the Mishnah. And how do you know that that's Takaso? So the Gemara learns that later from a pasuk. It says, Vishilchom Ibeisa. It says when he divorces his wife. So the simple Shuta Shom Mikro, Vishilchom Ibeisa, means he sends her out. He's divorcing her. So the Chachamim have an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that the word it says vishilcha, doesn't say vishilach. So the Chachamim darshan vishilach, if it would have said vishilach, it would imply that he has the right to make a shliach. And now that it says vishilcha, not only does it mean he can make a shliach, even she can make a shliach. And that one word is the marker of two dinim, that the Baal can make a shliach lahilochas haget to do the nesina to the isha, and the isha can make a shliach lekabolas haget to do the kabol. So that's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about a case where the get was written with the 12 lines and it was signed, and the shliach that the husband appointed comes to deliver the get to the isha. As he's about to deliver the get to the isha, so question number one should be, before you even get to the Mishnah, and me Samcha, and who says, I don't know who you are. Who says that you're the shliach? I don't know who you are. So how does he prove that he's the shliach? Maybe he's a faker? Yeah. That's the question. Where does it say? I mean, it says in the get.
No, you stand the chazukah. He has it. You go put the chazukah that he probably gave it to
him. Oh, that's what we're going to have to discuss. So the rush brings up the first rush. And the mistichta brings up this issue. That's a major question. How does he prove that he's the shliach? Who says that he's the shliach? And then the Mishnah is going to discuss, once we have already ascertained that he is the Shliach, then before he gives the get, then he has to say before Neder. We'll have to, okay, Bli Neder, but next week is Hanukkah, so we'll discuss in Yoni Hanukkah. Bli Neder, the week after, so we'll get back to business.
By that time, we'll forget the
fact that's not in a Sina.
That's not a Nesina.
That's sent it by mail?
No, the Nesina has to be done by a Shliach, by a Yid. A Goy is a Shliach. The Yid has to be a Shliach to do the Maisa Nesina. No, about a Nash by mail now. They have this movie about the husband was an American, he's making money, sent a get to his wife, and she opens up the envelope, and oh, the husband just sent her a get, and she starts to cry. That's ridiculous. You can't send a get in the mail, and the Goyish mailman in Poland is going to deliver the get, and it's a good get. That's Tligit of Magabi Karka. It's not good. What, he appoints the Goyish mailman as the Shliach? He can't. The Gemara says that Goy can't serve as the Shliach. You have to appoint a Yid as the Shliach, and the Shliach has to give the get, and Yodah ki Yodah. Then the scene of the Shliach, even if he can't trust him, it's all Pidin. It's not a Shliachus. In the beginning of today's Parshas Vayeshev, the Medrash Rabbah has on the first pasuk a very strong comment, which is Nageh to us Bizman Hazeh. The Chachamim comment on all the stories in Bereishis, Nastam stories, Maisav Vesim El Abonim. We're supposed to learn how we should lead our lives today, how we should fear politics with the Umas Oilam. So the end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Chumash concludes with Ve'elam Alochem Shemochel Be'eretz Edom L'fnei Moloch Melech L'bnei Yisrael. That the following are the list of the kings who were ruling by the Goyim. So the Medrash says, when Yaakov Avinu saw what's going on by Esav, he got so petrified. He see all these Arab nations surrounding Medinas Yisrael. You can faint from pachad. So the Medrash says, Moshe Lechet Shohei Mahalach Baderech, he's going on a highway, and he sees a Katshel Kelovim, he sees a whole bunch of dogs, and they're all barking, and he gets scared. V'nisyori mehem. But how does he solve the problem? What does he do? He shouldn't run away. He shouldn't be petrified. He should go sit down in the middle and show that he's the balabos, and then the dogs will run away from him. That's what it says. V'nisyori mehem, he got scared. So it says, V'yoshev lo b'neihem, and he sits down among the dogs, and he shows that he's the balabos. Just goes like this. If you run away, then they're going to start chasing after you. Don't show that you're afraid. You have to act like a balabos, or they'll run away. So that's what the Medrash says. Yankov Avinu sees all of these malachim. Kevin Shiro Avinu Yankov, Esav Alufav Nisyari Mehem. He got so scared. So what did he do? V'yoshav Lo Beinayim. He went to Eretz Yisrael and he said, I'm here and I want you to leave. You don't belong here in Eretz Yisrael. You should go leave. And they got scared and they ran away. That's the pashtus, the way in Eretz Yisrael. Of course there are a lot of Arab nations surrounding Eretz Yisrael, and there's a pachad and there's a sakona. But we should do myself as simul abonim. We should do like Yankov Avinu, that if they'll be firm, it doesn't mean they have to be meshuga. If they'll be firm and they'll show that we're the balabatim, so the others will run away. The opening medrash that Rashi quotes at the beginning of Chumash Bereishis writes that the umas oilam taina listen atem. The goyim are going to say that we're gadlonim. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I could have sworn that this was just in the New York Times yesterday. He used to always say that Rashi, just in yesterday's New York Times, they always say listen atem. So we're going to say, that's what Abba Ibn used to always, he was famous, we used to go to the United Nations, he said, he opened up the Chumash Bereishis, and he said that Rabban Shalom created the world, and he gave the Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and Avraham Avinu, he would read, yeah, this is Altgiret, if we believe, if the people in the government believe they what it says in the Torah, and they say, God gave us Eretz Yisrael, it's our country, and the Yom HaSalem also believe in the Bible, so we say, it says in the Bible, it's our country, it was given to us by God. And we have a claim to Eretz Yisrael, but if they themselves don't believe in the Bible, they don't believe in God, they don't believe, of course they have what to be afraid of. They have no claim to Eretz Yisrael. It's terrible if the government will not be afraid, and they'll just say, we're here, and they'll be firm. Then we will succeed, like Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash has a comment on Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu had the cholam about the Malachim going up and down, so the different interpretations in the Medrash as to what does it represent. So one interpretation in the Medrash is that the malachim who are going up and down represent the Sorash al Kolum of Eloshim. Every nation, it says in Sefer Daniel like that, every nation has an angel, sort of it's representing that nation in heaven. And there's a rise and fall of every empire. Every empire has Oilam Yardim. The Sorash al America is Oilam Yardim. It's going to go up. The Roman Empire and the Greek Empire, every empire, the British Commonwealth already collapsed, every empire goes up and it goes down, reaches its peak and it goes down. So the Rabban Shalom said, okay, Yankov, now it's your turn. You go climb up the Sulam. And he said, no, I'm going to go up, I'm going to fall down also. Everybody goes up, reaches his peak, and falls down. The Rabban Shalom said, no, I'm going to hold your hand. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Go up, and I'm going to see to it. And it says in the Medrash that he was afraid to go up because he saw all of history. You go up, you go down. Every Yom of Eloshin has its peak, and then it falls. So the Medrash says because he was afraid he didn't have bitachin in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that's why he was punished, that the Yidden had to suffer in Golus throughout all the generation because Yaakov Avinu was afraid. That's what the Medrash says here. If we won't be afraid, we will succeed, and we should follow Ma'aseh V'Simlah Bam. We have to follow the stories that are written in Bereishis. That's how we're supposed to lead our lives today.